Our next guest is a retired Lieutenant Colonel with the United States Air Force. He flew over 20 years and served under President Bill Clinton as one of the White House's senior military aides. He was charged with holding, carrying, and keeping safe the quote-unquote nuclear football. That's how a president can blow things up, for those who don't know. He has been not just only living in the White House, but he has also been a big critic of Mr. Clinton. He will be running. I'm very hopeful. We'll be running for office and winning very, very soon. But in the meantime, we still have him here in the retired and private sector. So we are very pleased, blessed, and honored to have back on the Knock Report, Buzz Patterson. Buzz, how are you doing, my friend?
JD, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Thank you. And sorry for the odd intro. You know, it's funny because when we got started, I went through and I had just pulled up the notes of your intro. And it's like, you know what? I don't even want to read the intro verbatim because I know Buzz. Buzz has been on the show, what, 2-3 times? And, you know, we're friends now. So why would I read from there? And then, of course, it all came out sounding really weird. So apologies for that. Yeah. But, you know, things are weird. These are weird times, as I'm sure you know.
Definitely.
And I've been meaning for a long time. You know, I speak to a lot of current, well, not so much current, but a lot of retired military people. And one of the things that I've always wanted to know is, you know, looking at the military today, and in particular, this sudden wokeness, you know, the sudden, I don't even know what else to call it. It doesn't feel like the United States military that my father served in. You served with honor. How does this wokeness in the military make you feel?
We're in trouble, JD. We're in deep trouble as a nation. You know, just for your viewers, a little backdrop. I did 20 years in the Air Force as a pilot. I came in under Ronald Reagan and I left under George W. Bush. So I had seen a lot of commanders in chiefs and a lot of different military tactics. And then, as you alluded to, I worked in the White House for the Clintons for a couple of years, carrying the football. I think the Clintons started this process where they've started using the military as a social engineering petri dish. It started back in the Clintons. George W. Bush did a pretty decent job kind of holding that at bay. And then, of course, when Obama came in, the floodgates were opened. And what we're seeing today is the Obama military, the Obama Pentagon leadership that's been reinstated by Joe Biden. And even our some of our, you know, most incredible and strong military commands like U.S. Special Operations Command are bending to the wokeness culture. I mean, the fact that they hired a diversity czar to do their hiring, and he his social media content was comparing Trump to Hitler prior to taking the job. So, I mean, there's just so many things happening. The fact that uniformed officials are using official social media accounts to go after people like Tucker Carlson or to go after political figures. That's not who the military is, and that's not what we want as a military. The military exists to project force and lethal force when necessary around the globe, and it's not designed to be an all-inclusive, everybody gets to play kind of club. That's not who the military is, nor should it ever be, and I think we're getting to the point, and this is not to badmouth Sweden or Danish military forces, but the U.S. military does not want to become Sweden or Denmark. We want to be the U.S. military, and we're well on our way to losing that capability if we're not careful. And right now, it looks like we're not being careful, and we're echoing and accentuating all the wrong things in our military, and we're getting away with a lot of the right things.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to start recruiting, you know, putting questionnaires on there? You know, when your recruiting officer has to find out if you're a social justice warrior, do you believe in critical race theory? You know, are they going to have to go back in your Twitter account and see if you've ever used any bad words before you're allowed to go serve the country and protect it? I don't get it. But
well, you know, and you're, that's a really good point in terms of recruiting, JD, because, you know, the people come in the military for a variety of reasons, but almost all of them come in because they're patriotic. And if we're going to go back and start picking and choosing who we recruit based on previous social media posts, or we're not going to get quality talent. We're not going to get the numbers we need, period, because people are going to be unwilling to do it. And we want to be, we want to entice good people to come to the military. We don't want to push them away. And I have a feeling that some of the policies being instituted today by Space Command, by the Space Force and by U.S. Special Operations Command and the Marine Corps are not encouraging people to want to join and sign up. They're encouraging people to stay away. And that's the wrong message. And we're not going to have a viable military if we allow that to continue.
No, we cannot. Yeah. And it's even, from what I've heard, and you know, it's, things are getting even not just about recruiting, but it's getting more challenging when it comes to, you know, the way that things operate. For example, you know, boot camp is, from what I've heard, it's become a very, very nice and friendly place, which that's not the whole, not really what you're supposed to get out of boot camp. There's more concern about people's feelings, you know, coming from commanding officers than there are about, you know, actually doing the jobs and being an efficient warfighting machine. So my question for you is, do you think that this, I know the answer, and I think everybody knows the answer, but I want to get your perspective. How does this, you know, limit our strength? How does this, you know, take us down a notch, so to speak? Because let's face it, we've always had good technology. Lately, we've had the best technology, but that's not never been our greatest strength. Our greatest strength is courage and the quality of the people that we send to war. And is that changing now?
Oh, it totally is. And for a variety of reasons. I mean, I think it's important for the viewers to understand that the military is every bit as political. The Pentagon is every bit as political as the State Department or any other major branch or department, you know, below the executive, you know, the president in the White House. So we have military members who leaders who are more concerned about their future politically than they are about being warfighters and commanders. And so that sends the wrong message, number one. So that's the root. One of the root issues is that we're promoting the wrong people to leadership positions in the military, and we're forcing all the right people to leave because of that. Secondly, you know, if you think back in World War I and World War II and the Vietnam War and the Cold War, I mean, what always made us set apart from the rest of, from Soviet Union or from China back in those days, was that we had an American spirit, we had a courage, we had a bravery, we had patriotism on our side, we wore our American flag on our shoulder. And I think that we may be now relying a little bit too much on technology and not nearly enough on the human element of who we're recruiting and who we're retaining in the services. And I just think that, you know, there are still, I mean, the people who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, in my estimation, were America's second greatest generation. But we are not recruiting those types anymore. We're not retaining those types, more importantly, anymore. People are voting with their feet and they're leaving the military. And technology, U.S. technology is second to none. But China is very quick to steal our intellectual properties and our designs and our aircraft plans, and copy us very, very quickly and very, very efficiently. So we've got to rely on that human element. And I think that, you know, in the military, you can sense a good commander and a bad commander. And this, you know, the lowliest one striper, brand new recruit can see whether or not their commander has integrity, character, somebody that they want to fly into combat with. And you know, I think we have far fewer of those kind of leaders than we need. And we're going to continue to lose those kind of leaders if we're not careful. And so far we're not careful. And the Biden administration so far has done more damage to the military than any, but even more than Obama did in his first couple of months in office in his first term. And it's time for us former military people to call out and say, hey, listen, this is not what the American people need and deserve. We deserve better and we need better. But 99% of the American public doesn't have any attachment to the military. So they don't understand the culture and the requirements. So that's why we're out here trying to educate them and enlighten them, because we don't want this to get to a tipping point, JD, where it's just too late to reconstitute our military. And that's what I am afraid is happening right now.
But it is a major concern for a lot of Americans in and out of the military. We're on with Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson. Buzz, you brought up China a couple of times. One of the things that in speaking to other guests in the past who with military experience, they said that one of the things that really differentiated us from China, you know, they had more people than, as you noted, they were behind us in technology, but they're very good at stealing technology, replicating it and making it their own, so to speak. But the one thing that we had was we had experience. We, you know, our military was tested. Our military was, you know, we weren't going to crumble, whereas China's military has been running drills for the past 50 years. You know, they haven't really been able to right. do a whole lot of, you know, real combat. But things are changing, and I would say that in many ways, you know, they call it a soft military. In many ways, our military, too, has started to soften, not so much because of lack of experience, but the aforementioned wokeness that is kind of taking over the country, the society, and yes, even the military. Is China our greatest threat? And what else do you see from China, not just from a military perspective? What else do you see? What other things concern you about China today?
Well, there's no doubt that China is our first and foremost, not only military threat, but just global threat in general. I mean, their military, the numbers are staggering. And like you said, they haven't had a lot of direct military experience. We have, unfortunately, but that has played out. I think we do have battle hardened troops that have been through this. But China has overwhelming numbers. And I think what China doesn't just stick to the military aspect. They're buying up properties all over the world. They're buying up farms in the U.S. They're affecting the global infrastructure. You know, one of the things that President Trump tried to do, I think he was pretty successful in doing, especially with the tariffs and trying to bring as much U.S. business. You know, we had transplanted so much U.S. business to China, and we had outsourced, you know, everything from pharmaceuticals to, you know, beach balls. But China, so Trump was trying to bring it and reshore it, bringing American businesses back to America. That was starting to work. And now we have just turned those spigots off again, and we're back to where we were 5 years ago. And here's the bottom line. China is doing this globally. They're doing it strategically. They're doing it in the U.S. I live in California, and you can see the influences on our supply systems here almost every single day. And if we're not careful, and Trump foresaw this, and I think Biden's too behold to China to adopt anything nearly as successful as what Trump was trying to do. But if, you know, China is on a roll. And China's doing it not only in the U.S., they're doing it around the globe, Africa, the Middle East. And, you know, they're meeting with Iran, of course, North Korea. I mean, they are by far our greatest global threat. And we're not keeping pace. That's how to say that. Whether we're talking militarily or economically, we're not keeping pace. And again, there's going to be a bill due at some point, JD, that we're going to have to step up and contend with China. And I'm hoping that we're not handing our kids, you know, just a future that's just going to be beholden to communist China, because we've seen just how corrupt and how, I mean, the genocide that's going on. I mean, there's just so many different topics about China, but they are first and foremost, they are going to make it very difficult. And you're seeing them now, dancing around Taiwan as they have Hong Kong, and a weak U.S., means bad things for Taiwan and Hong Kong.
Well, and we do have weakness in the White House currently.
Oh, yeah.
And China knows that. Do you think that in the near future that they may go ahead and do what they've wanted to do for a long time, which is to try to bring Taiwan into their one China concept, not two different, you know, not a separate nation, but actually make them part of mainland China?
Yeah, they're rattling their swords right now. They've been conducting military exercises in and around Taiwan, and again, Taiwan's military is insignificant compared to what China can bring. And I think that here's the great analogy for what Xi Jinping is doing right now, watching the Biden administration. When Joe Biden fell up the steps going into Air Force One, not once, not twice, but three times, I think it sent a message to the world. It sent a message to Putin, and it sent a message to Xi that, we don't have to deal with that, that mean tweeter Trump anymore, who's going to hold us accountable. Now we've got this guy we can basically do anything with. And his number two, who's probably making a lot of these phone calls to these countries. Well, in fact, we know she is Kamala Harris. And again, I can't imagine us putting Kamala Harris in charge of our military forces either. So the strength that we projected under President Trump, we have lost. And it's all in that depiction of President Biden trying to go up the steps in Air Force One. And it's just making people like North Korea and China and Russia just laugh and think, let's just keep probing this guy. And China is saying, let's probe Biden and let's probe Biden about Taiwan and see how he'll respond. And if he doesn't respond, we're going to roll it. And I don't see Biden responding with anything other than like sanctions or, a lot of saber rattling in the United Nations, but that's not going to stop. It's not going to stop China.
No. And if he were to do sanctions, that would be actually impressive for him. I would think that his response would be more drooling and getting
yeah.
drooling and falling and losing track of where he is. I do have two more questions, but I wanted to give you an opportunity first to tell us, and it's my opportunity, not really yours. Tell my audience what the plans are for the future. What is Buzz doing today? But more importantly, what is Buzz going to be doing? Because your career, your future has been bright. I've backed you from a political perspective for quite a while, and we are ready to hear some good news. Or maybe we're ready to hear some, you're going to take on a job as you'll be CEO of Boeing next week or something. I don't know. I don't know what your future holds. You tell me what's coming for Buzz down the pike.
Well, we ran for Congress here in California. We ran for California District 7, which is Sacramento County, east of Sacramento, up into the foothills. We lost by 12%. We're going to run for Congress again. We're waiting right now for California to redraw some district lines. We're going to lose at least one congressional seat. And I don't think it's going to be California 7, but it could be. So we're waiting. So we're running again for sure. Just not ready yet to announce exactly where it's going to be. It's going to be in that area, but we don't know if they're going to change the district numbers or redraw the line. So we're just waiting for that. But yeah, we are running. In fact, our website is already up. Buzz4Congress.com, Buzz4Congress.com. And so, yeah, we're full running mode again. We learned a lot last time. We're also, you might find this interesting, JD. We're also, I'm one of 11 of 12 plaintiffs that's suing California for election integrity under the Election Integrity Project California. And we're not trying to overturn anything that happened in 2020. What we're trying to do, all of us candidates, is getting visibility into how the Dominion machines work, how the internet is involved in tabulating votes. Where are the servers? How are the signatures? Are the signatures verified on mail-in ballots? How are they verified if they are verified? And if they're not verified, why not? So we're looking for visibility. The suit's been filed. We're in court. We're trying to get the different county registrars in California to preserve the records from November 2020. Some are being very helpful. Some, as you could probably imagine, the predictable ones are not. LA County comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Sacramento County has not yet decided to play ball either. But they're not going to have a choice because they're in court. So I think that goes kind of with me running in Congress, JD. It kind of goes hand in hand. I don't want to run again if I don't. We're pretty convinced that we did much better than losing by 13%. Let me put it that way. Our polls had us nearly in a tie. Going just three or four days prior to November 4th. So we were expecting a really, really close election. We didn't get it. So we're making sure that going forward this time, when we get to November 2022, we want, and I think all Americans and all Californians should demand vote transparency. I applaud what Georgia did with the voter ID. Every state needs voter ID. California, we need voter ID. It's going to be a lot harder to do here than in Georgia. But yeah, so there's the two prong. I've got a left and a right coming at you, JD. I'm going to run for office again, and I'm also suing California.
I like how you said that last part. You said you're running for office again. I want to throw something out there. Okay. You brought up signature verification. You brought up running for office. You said that California, you know, are they doing signature verification? We do know that they are going to be trying to do signature verification right now when it comes to the recall petitions. And they're going to try to invalidate, what, 600,000 so that it doesn't go to pass. Now, I know who you support, okay? But let's say he doesn't run. Buzz, what are the chances of you just saying, you know what? We need a constitutional conservative to be running in the state of California. So I'm in. I'm going to run. Buzz, will you run for California governor? If your guy, and again, I know who your guy is. Okay.
Right.
I support you, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, maybe you've talked to him. I haven't, maybe, but I don't think it's going to happen. And then that leaves us with not very fun choices, even on the Republican side. So I need somebody we can trust, and I'm picking you. What say you?
Well, there were two things that would have to happen for that to occur. My wife would have to agree to it, and our children, and I don't think that's going to happen. She's over here glaring at me right now, as a matter of fact. So I convinced her to run. I could run for Congress. She's letting me run for Congress, but I don't think governor would fit into what she has planned. But I would consider it. But here's the most sticking problem that the GOP in California faces right now. And as you said, we've got the guys that have already announced they're not going to win. The California GOP is going to have, once we get through the signature verification, which you just pointed out, it's going to be crazy. I think we've got plenty to recall the guy. But we're going to need the right candidate and a lot of money. Because, you know, the Democrats are going to throw big bucks at this. And I don't have that. I don't have that background. And I'm not very good at raising money. I need to get a lot better. But there are California GOP probably is going to try to narrow down the candidates to who they want. There'll be an endorsement. That person has got to raise boku bucks. I think it can be a competitive race here in California, but it's going to take a lot of support, a lot of money, and it's going to take, like you said, the right candidate. And the two candidates that I would like to see run haven't announced yet. So I know my number one, you do too. But I've got a number two too, and he hasn't announced yet either. So we'll see. We'll see. But you know, for me right now, I'm content just trying to get to DC.
Well, then I would love to have you in D.C. You know, I'm out here in California, so obviously I have a vested interest. As long as you're somewhere, you know, because we just need more people fighting for us. I don't care if it's city council. Okay, we need better people fighting in city councils. We need better people fighting in mayor's offices. We need better people fighting at the county level and the state level and the federal level. You know, that's the bottom line is we just need our biggest problem as a nation, in my personal opinion, has been that you know, the whole notion of career politician and the corruption in D.C. and in at every level of politics has made it to where the majority of people who would be considered, you know, good, honorable, short term, you know, not wanting to be career politicians, just go in there, they live their lives, they find success, and then they go spend 2, 4, 6, 8 maybe years doing their thing, and they go back and play with the grandkids. That's what I want. More of those people.
That's my plan. And we're not attracting those kind of people. We're not attracting enough of those kind of people. Let me put it that way. Our political process, the way it's evolved over our history, tends to breed career politicians. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not what our founding fathers intended. And I think people like you and me understand that ultimately results in people like Joe Biden. It doesn't result in people like Dan Crenshaw or, you know, myself, I'm a term limit guy. I think that the Senate should be limited to 2 6-year terms. And I think that a House of Representatives, it should go from a 2-year term to a 4-year term, and you should have 3. So everybody gets 12 years, period. 12 years max and you're out. That doesn't allow for you to get too cozy with the lobbyists. It doesn't allow for you to start racking up these amazing speaking fees around the world. Do that after you leave. But there's no reason why someone like, you know, AOC should go from bartender to millionaire in less than 2 years. And or Joe Biden, you know, or Bernie Sanders to have three mansions when he's never really actually had a job. So there's that. So, you know, I think we need to start attracting. I think that's why a lot more military vets are running, JD. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I think you're seeing a lot more vets like me who are looking at this and say, this organization is just not working. We can do better with senior with leadership that's more interested in taking care of the people and serving the people than vice versa.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned those. You mentioned your race. You mentioned military people. I think another person who fell victim to similar to, you know, what happened with your race, you know, the questionable change from what the poll said to what the vote allegedly said. Another military man, John James, I think he was also hit with a similar situation. I think that he actually won, but we will likely never know. There's always a chance. There's always a chance that he'll know. I'll tell you who I'm going to tell you who my other person is, by the way. So my number two is Larry Elder. I wish Larry Elder would run.
Bingo. That's my number two.
Oh, yeah. See? So we're shooting for the same. Here. Yeah. We're shooting for the same people. The question is, you know, will they heed the call? They've got to do it. They've got to do it. So that brings me to my last question, but I want to make sure to reiterate because, you know, Buzz is a military guy. He is a family man. He's a patriot. But as he said, and I'm not throwing out an insult, he's not necessarily the best fundraiser. So I'm asking you guys, my audience, I'm asking you, go to buzz4congress.com and give, because we do need Buzz's leadership to not just fix California, but also to fix this nation. Okay, we need him and more people like him. We need him to inspire more former military, more people that will embrace term limits, even if it's self-imposed. People who have lived lives that have built something, and now they're ready to do their civic duty and go in for a little bit, try to get some stuff done, get out before they get corrupted. I just, you know, the longer they stay, the worse it gets.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So Buzz, the number 4congress.com. My last question for you, sir, is one of, I think, you know, I guess you can call it extreme importance. It's whether it's extreme or not, you know, that's up to the audience. But I want to turn back to China and the threat they pose. You know, you're a military guy. We've talked about the military aspect of things. You brought up the tariffs and everything else. But here's the thing. They seem to be, and I spoke to Lieutenant General Tom McInerney last week, and he brought up hybrid warfare. And his perspective is that China is hitting us, not just, you know, from economic angle or from stealing technology or from cyber attacks or anything like that. He thinks that they're hitting us from literally every possible angle. You know, talking about infiltration, talk about, you know, spying, you know, to the nth degree. We already know about Eric Swalwell and all that stuff, you know, and now I get to the meat of the question. Do you see China as trying to just take us down, or do you believe that, very similar to how McInerney believes, that they're actually trying to take us over? It's not just about beating us. It's more of almost commandeering us. And I don't want to get into conspiracy theories here. I just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying.
Well, General McInerney, I actually worked for him for a little while in the Air Force. He's a tremendous gentleman and a great guy. And he's exactly right. You know, what China is doing is they're weaponizing literally everything. And I think he's right. They're trying to just consume us. They're weaponizing space. They're weaponizing the backside of the moon now. They're weaponizing satellites. They're weaponizing purchasing farmland in Nebraska and Kansas. They're weaponizing, you know, stealing our intellectual property. They're weaponizing, you know, the global economy so that we suffer, not them. I mean, they're you've got to hand it to them. They, for a communist country, they're pretty wily when it comes to it was what the Soviet Union never was, right? So the Soviet Union never quite, other than the military aspect, the Soviet Union never actually got it. China gets it, and they get it. They get it in spades. And I think that General McInerney is exactly correct. They don't want to defeat us militarily. They want to take over everything that we have. They look at the U.S. as a land of resources, and we certainly are. And you know, they got a bunch of people to feed, and so I think he's exactly correct. And one last thing I'll say, JD, for a reference point, when liberals and Democrats talk Russia, 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 they're diverting the focus from the real threat. You know, Russia essentially is a gas station. They have a lot of oil resources, and they have a lot of relationships with countries like Iran, but China is a huge threat, the biggest threat, and is really the only threat I can see on the horizon. So that's how big it is to me.
It's amazing, and so truthful, Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson. Thank you so much for being with us today. And it's funny because now I told Lieutenant General McInerney the same thing. And if you go back and you listen to my past shows, you will verify that I don't say this very often, but I do want to have you back on very soon to discuss this. And hopefully, you know, perhaps if you have some breaking information, you've got my number. Call me. I can throw you on to a show in literally 8 minutes. Okay. We can be live, and we could break it, and we could throw it up on Twitter and Facebook, and we would throw it up on YouTube, but I'm suspended right now, temporarily suspended for the 14th time or whatever, on our second channel since the first one was banned. But so probably not YouTube, but hey, we do great on Rumble. We do great on Locals. And of course, have a podcast where we're reaching the masses through the radio aspect of things. So sir, thank you again for coming on.
You bet, JD. Anytime, we'll be in touch.
Talk to you very soon, sir, and may God bless you.
God bless you, JD. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back. You're on with Two Mics, Dr. Michael Schur and Colonel Mike of the Two Mics podcast on freedomfirstnetwork.com. That's freedomfirstnetwork.com. Can you say that again? Yeah, freedomfirstnetwork.com, freedomfirstcoffee.com, and ffn.locals.com. Hey, Dr. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you again. It seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if my speaker's off. No wonder why. Anyway, I won't be able to hear myself clearly. Let me press that button. Can you hear me now, Dr. Mike?
I can hear you perfectly.
Perfect. There we go. All right, let's start with a word. We should have a word of prayer. Dear God, just hear our prayer. Charlie Ward said by April 1st, and Simon said by April 15th, depending on the eclipse. Please hear our prayer. Is he coming on a white horse? Please, Lord, bring Donald Trump back. Please, Lord, bring Donald Trump back. You agree, Mike?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. There we go. We should get Bishop Smith back on. We'll really have a hallelujah chorus.
Yeah.
All right. So, word, what do you have for today? What's the word now?
I think I have one more.
All right, hold on. This is the Knock Report update for the Freedom for Knock Report on Freedom First Network. So let's have the word so that JD will insert this into the bulletin there. Okay, what's the word?
The word is shoogly. S-H-O-O-G-L-Y. Another word from the old scats.
Oh my gosh, these guys were great. Braveheart, and now they have a dictionary and everything, you know? Okay, what do we got? What do we get? What's the shoogly? So wait a minute. Let me just see if I can put it in a sentence. I took my shoogly to the store and they rejected it.
Now, good try, but no. You could say President Obama always appears shoogly.
Oh my gosh, that's a wide one.
Shoogly means shaky and wobbly.
Well, that's President Obama. The former president, if he is named Obama, we don't even know who he is.
Maybe it's all Democrats, you know, maybe it's a collective term. They're a shoogly bunch.
Well, again, you know, we want to repeat it. Joe Biden's running in 2024. Now, I don't know what he's running from or running for, but he sure is.
Well, he's got some nieces that are going to be nine. So I know what he's running after.
Well, it could be, but he's running again. So he's closing that field so nobody goes near him. Also, Mike, in the news, Evergreen was rescued at the Suez Canal.
Well, Rule Britannia.
Do you have any intel that maybe you could tell us that's not top secret?
I have never been accused of having any intelligence. No, I don't know.
As my old friend Hercule Poirot would say, those little gray cells,
I think we'll see before long, though. I don't know. That seems to be a whole, it's either a big thing or just smoke and mirrors. I don't know what it is, but they managed to get it loose. You would think that they want to inspect whatever's on that boat.
Well, I heard there was 3,000 or 39,780 children.
Yeah.
Giraffes and camels were, I have no idea. All I know is the price of fuel went up, and I think that was it. It was to block it so the fuel can't get through. Big news, Facebook took down Iran's page.
Oh, no.
Press TV, gone. Goodbye, Press TV. Facebook said, you guys are Iranian. What? You're Iranian. We can't have you on Facebook. But Zuckerberg, you know, he could do anything he wants. You know, he didn't get a smack on the side of the head yet. So we have Evergreen is free. Press TV's. Oh, another thing. I watched this on RT. Very interesting. Putin put together a whole compound somewhere in Siberia with all this machinery. They're having their own personal COVID vaccine, which is not synthetic. It doesn't have all the baby parts and, you know, Mattel auto parts and, you know.
Yesterday's bagels.
Yeah, it doesn't have everything in there. It's some kind of a synthetic thing with some whatever. So it's supposed to be a lot safer. In fact, some of the Italian doctors and government officials are going over and getting vaccinated in Russia now. So, Russia's on top of this vaccine. 3,900, I think, 84 or 64, Mike. I'm not sure. I got it from McInerney before. 3,984 people died of the COVID vaccine in America. By the way, did you hear that yet? Did you hear anybody hear that yet?
No, I know it's well on toward 5,000 in Europe.
Okay, so people are dying from the COVID vaccine. It sounds like more people are dying from the COVID vaccine than people, you know, had the COVID. Again, you're watching the news and it's COVID. There's another blast. Make sure you wear your mask. Keep this thing going. I don't know. Dr. Mike, I wear a mask if they make me and they ask me to. I'm polite. I went to a shop this morning I had an appointment with, and they said, Colonel, you know what the rules are, right? I know you don't want to wear it. And I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, just for my sake, we got cameras in here and my boss will maybe fire me. I said, okay, so I'll put a new mask on. So I have blue mask. I have colors, blue mask and black mask. So I put black mask on today and I'm basically protesting because black masks matter. Okay.
Yes. You know, I carry two in my jacket. One is just the normal blue one. And if somebody wants it on and they're nice about it, I put it on. The other one, though, is for people who are snotty or demanding or who sound like they're ordering me to do something. And that one's the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia.
I knew it. You got the battle flag.
That doesn't even matter.
Yeah, you just try to be polite. But guess what I saw outside in the parking lot today? Boy, oh boy, you'd be excited to know this. Another Saturn is still on the road.
You know, I saw an exact model of mine about 2 weeks ago, and it was virginal. It was beautifully maintained. And that was a 2006, so it was a beautiful thing. But, you know, when they were an independent company, they produced very good cars. And then when General Motors got their hands on them, it generally went downhill and they just stopped making them then, which I think was the goal from the beginning.
Well, as a former in case officer, when I see them, I put a little note on the, you know, the windshield wiper. I say, I like your car. I used to own one of these. And if you're in the market to sell it, please give me a call. And I give them my burner phone number, you know. And they call up and they say, are you really interested in this car? I says, wow, I wouldn't believe it. You actually called me back, you know. And can I ask you how many miles are on there? And they say like 285,000. Well, sorry, you're just about 5,000 over what I was looking for.
Well,
I do have fun. Dr. Mike.
Sir.
This is going to go up on the Knock Report for the Knock Report news break. So the only thing I could see on the news break right now is Evergreen, right? Joe again. JD's got like, I don't know, four or five shows going on. What I think we have baseball, Kansas City Royal, Greg's buddy coming on with us. Princess should be coming on with us.
Good.
Liberty Loving.
There's one thing we could talk about for a moment, Colonel.
All right, hang on. Can you hang on?
I'm sorry?
Just hang on a second. You want
to talk? Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. No problem. But don't forget.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they are then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code KNOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
I'd love to see either, it'd be nice to get Buzz in the governor's office. Don't think that's going to happen. Doesn't seem like, well, I don't know about it. He's interested, but his wife's not. And hey, as a man who's been married for many decades, I can tell you that, yes, when your wife is against something, you should be against it as well. There's going to be times where you disagree, but don't make major decisions without her, and she shouldn't do the same. You should make those decisions together. So if we're not going to get Buzz in there, this is a call to Larry Elder, to Rick Grenell, to any of the strong potential Republican candidates for governor. Please step in. Please step up. Please do this. Okay, we can't afford to have weak candidates running against Gavin Newsom. The fact that the recall petition was able to get signatures, okay, great, yay, woohoo. But we need winners, or a winner, to take him on. So I'm in lockstep with Buzz on that one. And a lot of things. I mean, let's face it, his perspective, my perspective are very, very similar. And hopefully yours are as well. We're never going to agree 100%, but if we can get a 93, 95, somewhere in that range, hey, we're in good shape. That's strength. That's unity. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless you.